We read now from the Old Testament, continuing the readings in 2 Kings, and we've come to 2 Kings 22. And we'll read the entire chapter. And you will recall that there was a good king named Hezekiah who reigned for 29 years, and then his son Manasseh was a very wicked king, probably the wickedest king of all of the kings of Judah. It says that Jerusalem flowed with the blood of innocent people during his reign. But he reigned 55 years. His son, we're told in chapter 21, reigned for 2 years. And now we come to his Manasseh's grandson, would be the great-grandson of Hezekiah. And his name is Josiah. And you'll recall that eventually, just as the northern kingdom was taken into captivity by Assyria, the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, is also taken into captivity in 586 BC. And if you've read ahead, which I did to prepare, you'll find from this point at the beginning of this chapter, it's only 53 years until the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple, the tearing down of the walls, all of the terrible consequences of the sin of Judah. And in some of these later chapters, it's called out Manasseh's sin especially was the thing that God was so provoked at, going beyond even idolatry to murderous activity, filling the streets of Jerusalem with the blood of innocent people. So at the beginning of chapter 22, we're only 53 years from the invasion by Babylon and the destruction of Jerusalem. And yet, during the reign of Josiah, there is relative peace, as we'll read here. So, if you have your Bibles, follow along with me as I read the inerrant Word of God in 2 Kings 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, his son of Meshullam, the secretary, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money that has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the threshold have collected from the people. And let it be given into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the workmen who are at the house of the Lord, repairing the house, that is, to the carpenters and to the builders and to the masons. And let them use it for buying timber and quarried stone to repair the house. But no accounting shall be asked from them for the money that is delivered into their hand, for they deal honestly." And Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the secretary came to the king and reported to the king, "Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord." Then Shaphan the secretary told the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the secretary and Asaiah the king's servant, saying, Go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book, that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Asaiah, went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter. That's a place in Jerusalem. And they talked with her. And she said to them, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, Tell the man who sent you to me, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, all the words of the book that the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore my wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, Thus shall you say to him, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was penitent, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see the disaster that I will bring upon this place. And they brought back word to the king. And that's the end of that chapter. And I saw here a couple points to bring up. One is God's grace to Judah. They had had 57 years of evil kings and evil leaders, and yet we find Josiah wanting to improve God's house and fix it up, repair it, and he dedicated money to that. We find there were workmen who were honest. He says in his communication to them he's not even going to bother to account for the money because he knows they'll be honest. There's a high priest and a secretary who are faithful and carry out all the king's commands and even have a reverent regard for the law of God in this book that was found in the temple. And there was a prophet, a prophetess in Jerusalem. Even though Manasseh probably would not be interested to hear anything from a prophet, because how can a prophet of God say anything good to such a murderer? Yet he had not killed all the prophets, apparently. Or maybe he had killed the male prophets, but left this female prophet. We don't know. But at any rate, by God's grace, part of his grace to Judah was that there was still a prophet or a prophetess that would bring God's word to his people. And in looking at our own lives, how much of the goodness and the peace in our lives is in the same way, is purely the matter of God's gracious dealing with us and not explainable any other way. How could we explain these things, these good things occurring in Josiah's reign when there had been 57 years of evil before that? And the same is true in our lives. How can we explain the good and the peace and the comfort that God gives us, the provision he gives us, except that he has been gracious toward us? And secondly, we see God's word to Josiah and the people. And we get the sense, as this book is found, that it had been forgotten. It was lost. It's not as though Josiah said, fix up the temple, and while you're there, find this book that I've heard about. It was something completely unknown to him. And yet, and it's not surprising, maybe because of 57 years of rebellion against God, a whole generation or two generations had come and gone, and it's not surprising maybe that no one would know that this book of the law existed in the temple. But God knew, and he had preserved it, and he had caused it to be found. And he put it in the hearts of those who found it to bring it to the king, rather than destroying it or hiding it. And we see what conviction it brought to Josiah, and what God's opinion of that was. God mentions in his, as the prophecy is given, that he is going to have mercy on Josiah because he respected the word of God and was sorrowful for the sin of the people. And so the word of God brought conviction, and it resulted in reform. The next chapter will outline the reforms that came about as a result of this discovery of the law of God. But Josiah's first reaction was sorrow for sin, confession. Yes, God, you are right. We are sinners deserving of your wrath and curse, and a cry for mercy, and a repentance that brings new obedience. But we might ask, am I neglecting the Word of God? It's not a dusty scroll stuck under some shelf or behind a wall. It's a book that sits on my shelf, maybe several copies of it. It sits on my nightstand or on my bookshelf. But what am I doing with it? Is it as good as gone as far as I'm concerned? There was a time in my life when I could go for days on end and never touch the Bible, not even crack it open. And it's a sorrowful thing to look back on, and it's a disgusting thing when we know that the treasure of all truth is found only in the Scriptures. Why would I have interest in anything else is almost the question we should ask. But such was my life at one time, and maybe such was yours. Maybe such is yours now. Do you find yourself able to go for days not reading the Scriptures? You know that cannot be healthy for your soul to neglect the Scriptures. And we see what good comes of the Scriptures even in this passage, in the bringing conviction to Josiah the king. So pray that God would awaken your soul. You don't have to pray that he will give you his word. You already have that right in front of you in black and white. Pray that God would give you a hunger for it, and that his Spirit would open it to your eyes, that he would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and ears to hear. Let's go to God now in prayer, and I'll mention some of those things that I brought up before. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we confess that we have neglected your word, maybe not for decades as they had in Judah, but which of us is not guilty of neglecting your word for some period in our lives, and maybe even now find it dull reading, hard labor, and something we just as soon avoid. Put that burning desire within us, Father, that causes us to seek you, to want to please you, and to desire to know more of you, and grant us that conviction that we see in King Josiah, his first hearing ever of your word, and he is so broken and distraught. He, the king, tears his royal robes and cries real tears, as we're told. He wept because of what he read in your law. Bring us to weeping, Father, that we would not incur your judgment, but be brought to that place of peace and comfort in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are the God of all comfort, as well as the fearsome God of wrath against sin. And grant us that comfort of your Holy Spirit. May he first convict as your law comes to bear on our souls, and then grant that he would comfort as we receive forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Father, we bring before you these matters that I mentioned before. We pray for this congregation, the Covenant Presbyterian Church, that is pastored by the friend of Pastor Barnes. We ask that you would bless that congregation, even as they have heard your word that today. May they meditate on it throughout this week, and may they be frequent readers and meditators on your word as we desire for ourselves. We pray that you would bless them. We pray for Andrew's work in the committees of General Assembly, and then as the General Assembly meets this week, we pray that your work would be done and that your will would be done, your revealed will. They have your word, just as we do, and we pray that they would be guided by it and not make up their own laws or act in ways that are purely based on practicality. Grant that your will would be done in heaven and on earth, and especially in our denomination, we pray. If none others follow your will, Father, may this denomination be true to your word. And we pray that that would be reflected in every decision made at this General Assembly. We ask for your healing work to be done on Larry and Phyllis Manneman. We pray that Phyllis would be healed of the illness that's kept her away today. We pray that Larry would be healed of that difficulty in his heart and circulatory system that has impaired him. We pray that you would grant them both their former strength and return them to us to serve you together with us. We thank you for the help that the immigration lawyer has been to Becky and her husband, John. We thank you for her willingness to do this legal work and her skill in it. And we pray that the application that's submitted this week would be successful, if that would please you. Hear our prayers for this family, that they would be united and be able to serve you together with Christ as their head. Bless them, we pray, and keep them faithful to their marriage vows, and bring glory to yourself as you answer the prayers and the cries of your people for these dear ones. And so bless us, Father. Answer our prayers according to your perfect will, in ways that would be best for your people, as you have promised to do. And may you keep all of your promises. You have promised so many things to us in Jesus Christ, and we thank you that they are fulfilled in Jesus, every one of them. And may you make it apparent to us, manifest your answers to your promises, your fulfillment of your promises. Manifest those things in our lives and make them obvious to us, that we would return to you the praise and glory that you deserve. Aid us now in the remainder of this worship service, and especially be the strength and help to the one who brings the message. And be the strength and help to each ear here who would hear your word. And grant that you would give us ears to hear. We thank you so much that we have your word. It is not dusty and hidden and forgotten, but it is right in our hands, before our very eyes, in black and white, perfect and perfectly sufficient. And so draw us near to you by your word and by your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.